Hi everyone, welcome to the Big Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamma, and I am so excited to be here today because, as usual, I get to hang out with super cool people. And yeah, it's just awesome to be here with all of you really cool people. So hey everyone, let's meet who's here. And let's start off with our surprise panel member today, Dave. You're usually on the
Hey.
Mac show, but here you are today joining us on the Big Show
The streams
live. I've been on a
cross
big show before.
location.
That's
Yeah, you've
true. I've been on a
joined
big show
before.
before.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
The
I've been glad
streams
to be
just
here.
crossed.
My wife's having a procedure today at the hospital, so I'm in the waiting room. So I figured, right, perfect timing. I can jump on the show here and have some fun with you guys.
And
Yeah.
since you're in the US, your Wi-Fi in the hospital is probably good enough for this.
Actually, honestly, it is.
Yeah,
I'm in
see.
a really kind of a wealthy area. This hospital is kind of luxury,
That's
so.
why. Like, forget that here in Austria. Like that. I mean, you're
Yes, I know. You.
lucky if you get Wi-Fi. Lucky if it's like more than
Yeah.
100 kilobits per second or something.
Well, I tell you this,
You
the
have to
cell
pay
phone
for it in the
service.
UK ones.
Yeah,
No,
oh,
you're in a
it's free. Yeah.
NHS, you pay.
Yeah,
That too.
The cell
You
service
don't.
purposely is horrible in the hospital, so.
Yeah, that's the other part. It's
Yeah.
usually also because it's like big
Yeah.
concrete buildings, so cell service
Yeah.
is basically also non-existent. So,
Well, it was
yes.
SOS when I was in the prep room with her, so I had to go on Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Wow. Well,
Well, good to,
I'm
glad to be
glad you're
here.
here.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and the woman that when she hangs out at the hospital has to use a US Robotics 56K modem to get on the internet. Patrice, how are you?
Yeah, I'm here, right? So that should tell you something. No, I'm okay. My voice is still, I don't know. I don't know. I think I caught something last week at the conference because I'm still struggling. Yeah, I just came back from, like, I had coffee with a friend that I haven't talked to, ex-employee of mine. Haven't talked to in a couple of years, and we just met up with for coffee, and yeah, it's good. Life is good. Tomorrow's a public holiday, so yay.
Oh,
Oh, that's
nice.
right.
Oh, yeah, Mayday.
Yep, Labor Day it's called here.
Oh,
I say
yeah.
Labor Day, yeah.
Yeah, it's called
That
Labor Day
is that
here.
all? That's all Europe? Because I saw when we had it on the calendar at work for.
Most of Europe does it, yeah. There's a couple
Because I saw it on the
exceptions.
calendar
Close
for
that gap.
Singapore and South Korea.
Yeah. Ukraine, for example, doesn't do it anymore because they associated it with Soviet times, so they stopped doing it.
Oh,
I just learned today. I was like, huh, interesting.
yeah,
Oh,
interesting.
that's better. Look, there we go. I'm
Yeah.
now not in the dark. Right, there we go.
Speaking of interesting and definitely not associated with the former Soviet Union, Tom, how are you?
Are you sure?
Dosvidaniya. Wait a minute.
Come, lad.
Wait, I gotta
Comrade.
connect. Hold on a second. Give me a second.
I'm still getting ready, but the point is.
Okay, now we're good. Now we're good.
Okay.
At the I'm doing great. So my interesting thing of the week, besides hanging out with all of you, was I was invited. There was a person that wanted to talk to me. A researcher was doing some stuff, and
Dave,
she sent
we're from
me.
Russia.
No, she sent me. She sent me a Teams link.
Wow.
And I was thinking to myself, when was the last time I was on Teams? And I'm pretty sure I haven't used Teams since I retired. And
Yeah,
so
I think so.
I had to see if it was actually on my machine. I fired it. Teams is okay. I'm not really a Teams basher, but I don't think anybody outside corporate uses Teams. Hey, let's get jump on
Yes,
a team call
exactly.
to
No,
dinner.
nobody ever.
Wish I could say
But you
Yeah,
work
I
corporate,
know,
Dave, so
right?
that's
I
why.
live in
Yeah.
Teams. It's not
Yeah,
good.
same. Me
Yeah.
too. I'm basically
Well, the
9 hours
worst
a
thing
day.
at my job, for whatever reason, we ended up with supporting both Teams and Zoom. So it was like every other meeting. It was Teams, Zoom, Teams, Zoom,
Yeah.
Teams, Zoom. It's like, for crying out loud, just pick one. I don't care. Just pick one. I'm so sick of.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we only have teams.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, like I said,
Zoom when we have to, but mostly teams.
Teams is okay.
We moved away from Zoom, let me think, 5 years ago almost by now, and we still have Zoom. So, like, yeah. There's still calls that are in Zoom, and it was it's been 5 years since we officially switched teams.
Because nobody wants
yep.
to
use No, because there's still some limitations in Teams. Like, if we do our global town halls with, like, I don't know, let's say out of 10,000 employees, there's about 7,000 there. Yeah, forget that in Teams. Like, it's just not going to handle it.
We have the same problem, exactly the same.
Zoom is all our big town halls.
Yeah, all our big town halls are always in Zoom. Yep. Zoom, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah. So we still have to. We have still have Zoom this day.
Yeah. Anyway, so I did find I have Teams on my machine. It works, and I got through it.
Yeah, you have a Windows, right? It does come with Teams usually built in.
Like it or not.
Yeah. Except when you're in the EU.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, we can opt out.
Well, not in the EU, Mr. Teams himself. Ian, how are you?
Mr. Teams.
How am I? I'm fine. I don't have spent my week in Teams. I've been broadcasting on the FM dial all week, teaching a class. So yes, I have been all week in, and now I'm coming to the end at last. Yay. And tomorrow I have the day off, even better. And then I'm going down to a Crikey Trousers Land, which I'm hoping to catch up with him on Sunday. So
nice.
I should see Graham on Sunday with any luck.
Hey, when you see him, ask him for me. Can you make a proper fist yet? He'll understand.
Okay,
we'll find out.
Yeah, it's and for everyone else
as
it's
well.
Like,
but there we go.
Why would you even say that? Don't worry. It's a inside joke.
Who's getting fisted? What?
Well, someone's getting fisted. Our show title.
There's a good show title there.
I will see. We'll see what goes on anyway. But that's that'll all be good. It'll all be good.
Yeah.
Down to Bristol.
That's another country.
I know the
right?
song, "Doing the Bristol Stomp." Yeah. That's how I learned about Bristol. Yeah.
Yep. I way know. Down the southwest where they say "Oh my lover" and all of that, and I'll get killed now. But
doesn't Torchwood play in Bristol?
Yes.
The show? Yeah. See, that's where I remember it from.
Cardiff.
Oh, Cardiff. Yeah, Torchwood. You're right. Not Bristol. Cardiff.
No, and that's on the other side. It's just all of Cardiff does a lot of the filming because you once upon a time could go to a show thing. You could go and have a look at Doctor Who filming.
Yeah.
Last time I was there,
was Cardiff,
a very long time ago. I know you still can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see bits of it. There's an area where you can have
nice.
A look.
Yeah.
And that's so just over the. It's just over the Bristol Channel on the other side between there and.
Yeah, I just remember the one of the main characters. She always would say, "Reese, we gotta go."
Yeah.
I always thought that was
funny.
Yes. We gotta go.
And that's more Welsh.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we have a recording of you doing that impression, Patrice.
Thank
you. That will be everyone's ringtone.
You're welcome.
That can be your ringtone.
With my broken
excellent
voice.
Excellent
song. Please. Yeah. What a
that's fantastic.
Yes. Ringtone.
All right. Well, okay.
It sounds a little bit like that modem handshake.
It does.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It does. We gotta go. Connected.
Yep. Okay. So now we know all about Patrice's modem handshake.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. It's a good show, though. Torchwood.
Yeah. Oh, I really enjoyed Torchwood.
Oh yeah,
and when they did the Torchwood movie,
oh yeah,
I really enjoyed that too. Went and saw it in the theater.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, so they were doing a whole thing where whatever network had in the United States had basically abducted the Torchwood property. So the only way to see anything after the series had wrapped up, if you wanted to rewatch episodes, was to pay for whatever this other streaming network service was, which I think is actually gone now. And but to go along with the release of the movie on their streaming service, they also did a theater release, like a special thing. Like tonight, you can go see the premiere of the Torchwood movie actually in a theater. So
yeah, that is pretty cool.
And that yes, really it was cool. And Captain boy, Jack. That was a story you couldn't do on Doctor Who.
No, but that's what I liked about Torchwood. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always stories that were super interesting, that were very different. I mean, Captain Jack Harkness, like, it's just like legend.
Yeah,
so, absolutely.
I missed that show. It was fun.
Yeah, I miss it too. Yeah. What I don't miss is knowing that all of you bring really interesting stories for us to talk about. And Ian did just that, I'm assuming, because you have a link in here. So in our live chat. So tell us about the copy fail 0 day.
Yeah, so it's a 0 day bug that's been discovered. The interesting bit of this is these things are found all the time, but it's in every Linux distribution since 2017. It's a bug in the kernel. And some guy found it with an hour's worth of scanning with some tooling designed by with an AI, with an LLM scanner through that. They were looking at the kernel code for something else. This came up. They had to scan it twice before they believed what was there. Mm-hmm. But this is in every... There's fixes now out for most of the major vendors, so it's not a big deal. But just interesting now how we're finding more and more bugs in code, and we're finding it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Firefox just recently.
Yeah.
They sat Mythos against it and found a bunch of stuff in it.
Oh, there were bugs in a Linux kernel that Mythos found. Like,
yeah. So, and it's just interesting now. Yeah. More that's the part that's interesting is how many bugs we're discovering now with AI.
It just shows you that humans fundamentally are not as good at looking at code than machines are, which is not a surprise because code is written for machines. So, like, if anybody should understand it better, it should be a machine.
Absolutely.
It just took a couple decades to get there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I think I said that on the big show at some point, that I think the security level or the quality also of the average application that we use will increase due to the AI. Not because AI is so much better and blah, blah, blah. No, it's just because it copies better code. Right? It learned from the code, and it learned from usually better code, not always, but usually better code. So if people are using it, that, like, you know, a lot of code is written that is like by people that either don't care or don't know what they're doing or are, I don't know, pushed to deliver really fast or all of that. And if all of those get replaced by AI, then by AI code or partially even by AI code, then the quality level will just, security level will increase. Plus things like this, right? Where we have tools that you can run. Like you can have it analyze, and yeah, maybe not everything it finds turns out to be what it pretends it is, but hey, like you now have stuff you can check and be like, okay, this is not correct.
Like with a lot of things for AI, I think it's one of those ideal things for that first pass.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what's great about AI in itself. It being able to create code for you and create an app and create those kind of things, it learns and knows how to do that. Well, why shouldn't it not know how to scan for bugs?
Yeah.
I mean, this is such a game changer. AI, it's every day I'm talking about it at work, and work is just going crazy with it. You know, we gave out thousands and thousands of licenses to AI now that people have to start using it. And, you know, but the thing is, it's going to also change in the corporate world too, because we don't have to hire another person to replace that person, because you can use AI and be able to get that job done. And yeah. That's what kind of scares me. I mean, you'll have people that could, you'll still need people to do the work, yeah. but you're going to need less people, yeah. and they're going to overwork people because, oh, well, you should be able to use AI. It makes it so easy.
Yeah, exactly. I said, like, we should replace the CEOs first, or the board level.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Those are the people, like, honestly, don't understand. A lot of them. It's not all of them. There's yeah. there's good board members and there's good CEOs. No, but there's a lot of them where I'm like, yeah, they fundamentally do not understand really what's required. They just follow the hype or follow what like the Anthropic CEO is saying, oh, we can replace 100%. Yeah, of course he's saying that because he's selling you the shit.
He's selling your prop.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, it's a product to be sold. Yes, there's a product to be sold.
Yeah, yeah, it's not true.
These CEOs are getting the information from people below them.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that, oh, look, we're going to spend X amount of dollars here on all this AI investment. Yeah. Well, this is where we're going to get this benefit. Where we're going to get this value. That's I hear it all the time, and the fact of the matter is, a lot of companies are using Copilot, and Copilot is horrible.
I disagree. I disagree. Copilot is actually, it depends.
Okay.
The development side, Copilot in Visual Studio is actually pretty good. If you use Copilot in Excel or whatever, forget it. Like, it's just crap.
Yeah. I was talking to a colleague and a friend of mine, we're on the Mac and both on the Mac side thing.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to get people to do coding with, I guess we need to get GitHub, the GitHub code, coding. And that's a whole other investment besides that. So they're expecting developers and expecting engineers to be able to do the work in Copilot. Well, it's not working. It's coming for crap. So you know what happens? Employees go and they have their own subscriptions on ChatGPT and Claude and other places and Codex even too.
Exactly.
The better code using ChatGPT with Codex than you are than you are with Copilot, because even though Sonnet, whatever their thing is,
Sonnet
is now included in Copilot.
Yeah, but it's Sonnet. But it's also their worst model.
It's the worst model. Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
Which is fine for some things. It's just
because we're trying to do quick code to be able to scan systems. You know, like we just talked about.
Yeah.
You're scanning for that. We're also trying to scan and for vulnerabilities. And there's another thing that you have to look at. I'm working on that now, and boy, it's so much manual intensive labor, and everybody complaining about we're overworked and we don't have time. You know, do this. How are we not investing time learning AI to do that for you?
Exactly, and I think that's the thing. At the end of the day, I mean, we have this whole talk about AI, whatever, replacing jobs, no junior developers, blah blah blah, all of that. Can we fire basically 95% of our staff and do it with less? In reality, the companies that will win are the companies that will create with the same investment and the same amount of people they have, will create more because they can. If you have the option, I can do exactly what I'm doing today with less money, or I can do more and be more and offer more to my customers, be more competitive. Which one do you pick?
It depends how your company is doing financially, though. In the short
that
term,
is true.
They might just get rid of people.
Sure.
That is true. But that has nothing to do with AI.
No. But one of the things I see with AI is, there's sort of two sides of the use. One is to create code. The other is to QA
to break code,
essentially.
To break code.
To break code.
Yeah.
And
there's
and
three
I think,
sides.
You know, I know
to create code, to break code, and to exploit code.
Right. That's true. I know from the chip design stuff where AI is being used, the easiest and one of the first places it was applied was in verification, not in creating a design, but verifying it against specs, because AI is really good at that kind of stuff. And now I'm seeing all this, all the people using different versions of AI to check code or look for vulnerabilities and that kind of thing. And I wonder about companies like, the code checking companies like Coverity and Black Duck. They must be really concerned about the future of their business.
No, because they're building tools and they're building their training models to keep their business going, but do it with AI.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they have
to. Everybody is doing that.
Right? Exactly. That's how this thing was found. Yeah. And the interesting thing, in a little bit further down in that same article, the interesting part here is also it's who can find the bugs, because an umpty like me with no programming skills could scan the code and go, oh, look what I found.
Yeah.
But the important part that comes now on the other side of it, oh, look, here's a bug. I now need a grown-up to tell me whether it's a real one or not.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. See, there's the bit, it's the validation bit. So it is idiots like me can find it, but it still needs someone competent to be able to validate what I found is something that's actually genuinely a bug, and it's not just some bits of artifact.
But idiots like you
has no.
Yeah, idiots like you could find it before. There have been so many examples where children or like teenagers that had very little to no coding experience found bugs in iOS sometimes and so on, like in a lot of places. Mm. Like I don't want to say idiots, but like people that don't have the high end like development skills,
untrained,
yeah, exactly, can sometimes find bugs. So yes, in general, I think more people can find bugs, and I think that's the cool thing about it, right? More people could look at it and find something that maybe only the experts would find, and we don't know, maybe this bug was actually found and exploited, right? Because that's the other side.
Yeah,
that's well, I think you have to be careful of those untrained idiots, though. I think they're really dangerous.
Yeah,
they are dangerous. Yes, yeah, look at Ian. Right, it looks really dangerous.
Completely. I'm dangerous.
Super dangerous.
My bad and dangerous to know, as they say.
I'm finding it interesting how this takes like a different angle into checking code with AI, because it's essentially doing it after the fact, which seems like a reasonable part of a workflow. There's a bunch of tools, AI tools out there already that hook into whatever your IDE is.
Yep.
And they catch bugs along the way as you're developing.
Yep.
And it's better, that's super useful. But it doesn't mean you catch every single bug throughout the process.
No.
So having something that can check from the other side, like we're seeing here, and find these other bugs.
Yeah.
To me, that's super useful. And I'm sure people have already hooked that into the AI systems that they're using in their IDEs so that they can get even more efficient at catching and patching bugs.
Yeah, it's actually that side of catching bugs is older, I think, than the one in the IDE. Because that's how I think all the certifications you will find out there, like that's still they ask for that. It's like, oh yeah, do you have like basically built pipelines that check after? Do you have penetration testing or any kind of testing after the fact, like black box testing and so on? Mm-hmm. Because exactly that, like you wanna test the finished thing and make sure it is safe, basically. It works well. One, it works, but two, it is safe. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, for sure. Like, I'm always thinking about that. Like, okay, how can I hook in AI here and do that? And yeah, there's a million tools that do that already, but it's pretty cool.
Well, because it's not only dangerous, but it's expensive if you ship a product got bugs in it, right?
it can get really, really expensive, but it's also kind of embarrassing. Like the last thing you want is that for your customer to find the bug. I mean, it happens all the time and we all know it, but it's kind of embarrassing because you're like, you idiot should have found this before.
Right.
The ratio should be 98% you found internally and 2% is your customer, because there's always some edge cases that you're like if I click here 17 times and then I click on this and then push the left button and type ABC and then all of a sudden breaks. I'm like, how? Did you even come up with this?
Yeah. But look, it's reproducible. Okay,
yeah, it is totally reproducible.
But how did you come up with this?
Yeah, but it's like, but it's totally something a customer actually did in real life. It's not that they looked for the bug. It's literally, I was doing this and then it happened.
Mm-hmm. Customers tend to not like being beta testers.
No, that's exactly. That is also true. Unless they're Google customers.
We've been beta testing for now, God knows how many years.
Yeah, since Google was great. Google for 20 plus years.
Exactly.
20 plus years of beta testing.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being beta testers, Tom, your story feels like meat space beta testing to me.
My story is about some promotion that an electric air taxi did, Jovi. Jovi is a company that was, I think it was founded in Santa Cruz, California, believe it or not. And they make, they've been around for a little while, a few years. They make an electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle. It's like a 4-seater, I think, is what they have now. And it's got, I think, 6 or 7 props on it. So it's the usual vertical takeoff and landing, but it's electric, so it's fairly quiet. It's reasonably small. This is all about PR. And I think it's very interesting. It's very cool. It's kind of, you know, is this the Jetsons? Are we entering the Jetsons phase? But then I was wondering what people think, what problem does a small electric taxi solve in the transportation ecosystem? Because when you look at it, it carries 3 or 4 people. It's not terribly cheap. So is it just a replacement for like high-end limos, you know, because their big promo was we can get you from New York City to JFK in 10 minutes or something. But, you know, out of all the people, all the congestion on the roads that are accounted for or due to people that are trying to get from New York City, from Manhattan to JFK, how many of them are going to be able to afford taking an air taxi? Yeah, and so even if people could afford it, how many of the people are you going to get off the roads and the other transit anyway? Is it really useful, I guess, is my question.
Look, cool. But haven't we invented this before? It's called the helicopter.
I think so, yeah. This whole thing is, like, ridiculous.
Only okay. Just 200 miles an hour, so it's a helicopter. It's a helicopter.
Exactly.
Well, it's... Tell them we'll do that.
Yeah, certainly. It's
Jet Ranger, I'm done.
I mean, it is a vertical takeoff and landing, but so theoretically you can go faster when you're in flight, but you can still do vertical takeoff and landing. It's a lot quieter.
Yes.
So it's cool. From a tech point of view, it's cool. Yeah. I just don't see what the use case is.
I mean,
this is for the financial elite.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is for those very people that have helicopter rides today. By the way, Uber's had helicopter rides in, I think, New York City for many, many years. So
traditional helicopter
you could book through Uber. So I think it was New York City. This is not new. No, I mean, like I get the draw of those EV, what are they called, eVTOL?
Right.
Electric vertical takeoff and landing. You told, yeah. So I get the draw of them, but they're for the rich people who would use a helicopter, and now it can be an electric helicopter because that's what it is. It's the same thing people always ask for the flying car, and I'm like, it's a helicopter.
For what?
A flying car is called either a plane or a helicopter.
So my question is Joby the Segway of the 2020s? It reminds me of Segway, which is a solution looking for a problem.
The sad thing is there is about 50 other companies about as famous about doing the same thing. There's a couple. I just looked it up today, even because my boss was talking about it. Like, he was like, oh yeah, when an eVTOL is like affordable and like practical and all of that, and I'm like, yeah, you're gonna wait a while for that.
Yeah.
But and if you think but even if it was all those things.
Prius,
yeah.
No, this isn't something that the average person
no.
would ever buy anyhow.
Well, like you said, there are a bunch of companies working on this. I think there are three or four just here in the Bay Area that are working.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, this would be the hub for that because you have a lot of people with a lot of money and yeah.
I mean, so, I understand. You think about something like a Waymo or an autonomous car. I can kind of see that as very useful for the last mile part of the transportation system.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the same thing as a cab, right?
Yeah, get you from the train station home. You know, you could have taken one from the metro home to get home in 2 minutes instead of 10.
I could have, yeah. If they were here. There isn't a Waymo here.
Sadly,
yet. Not yet.
Sadly, the Scottish slang for jobby makes this a no-go. I'm not taking a flying a shit. I'm not flying in a shit. I'm not flying in a piece of dog. It's gonna. If they bring it to Glasgow,
is that what jobby means? Okay.
Jobby in Scotland is slang for it. Slang for shit. So if you're
flying shit.
So they're trying to release in Glasgow. new printing device. It's called a jobby, and you're just going to go,
oh, that's shit.
It's not going to work. And look at him turning up in his nose. It's just never going to work. It's
never going to work. Yep, that's like that to-do app that taught in English, and I was like, yeah, that's not going to fly in German.
you think the people that started this company had access to Google?
No, they don't.
No, never.
As I said, I mean, the company next to our club has an electric. It's not an eVTOL; it's an electric plane. Pipistrel, something like that is the company. Right. Also a weird name, but it's Slovenian, I think. I've honestly in a year never even seen that thing fly anywhere. So the demand for it seems to be non-existent. And two, I know that the range is super, super limited right now. It's like, I think it can do like half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that. So it's enough to do like a couple rounds on like of our traffic circuits or like go out and come back and that's it. So it's not practical currently.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these companies spend more money on PR than they do on anything else.
Yeah, I mean, will eventually one of them work and be practical and people will buy it? Yes, like electric cars, right? I mean, the beginning they were, I mean, very in the beginning, like 1890 something, they were kind of crap, and then something better came around and then they came back and all of that, but eventually they got good enough where like they got like mass market capable. And these days I would say electric cars are the better cars. And the same thing will happen here. I think at some point, however it's going to look like, however long it's going to be, we will have electric helicopters, electric planes, electric all of that. Like, I think it will happen. It's just a matter of when.
Right.
But
How big would your battery have to be to power an electric A380?
Yeah, actually the bigger planes probably less of a problem because they're anyway heavy and big, so, and they can haul a lot of stuff, so the smaller planes are more of a problem.
but you can't bring any carry-on or luggage.
Yeah, and the charging and the car charging for it takes like whatever, it's like 2 weeks of charging for we need to work on a lot of technology to get there. Like it's, I said, right now we can do smaller planes. That's the best we can do.
Right.
It's coming. It's just a matter of when. But as I said, so that's what these companies are thinking. Like they're like, oh, we solved the problem. We can sell it today. And the reality is, you're basically just asking investors to give you money,
right?
For that you can follow your hobby and have fun with it. Yeah. You're just fine.
Yeah, for something that expensive, you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. And I mean, expensive, and also it's. I mean, there's a lot of regulation. There's a lot of danger.
The regulation too. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flying. It could kill someone easier than a car. Right. Out of that. So it is a tough challenge, and I think that it probably why Good luck. I would say good luck.
States.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, I know, I think one of them has, there's a couple even that have passed. Like, in general, they're safe enough, but they're just not very practical and they're not affordable.
Yeah, even the payment for the trip can't be
reasonable
either. Crazy.
Yeah, but we'll get there. It's just a matter of when. As always.
Okay, so next story. And Patrice, you didn't bring a story. You brought
no.
a soap opera.
I brought literally. I brought tea. I brought four stories that I brought because they're all the same topic. There is a big court battle happening right now in Tom's neighborhood, on the other side of the bay, and it is Elon Musk versus OpenAI. Because you know what Elon Musk has to do? He has to go to court to sue OpenAI for he wants Sam Altman to step down. He wants OpenAI to go back to a non-commercial company, a non-profit, and he wants the ill-gotten gains, in air quotes, of 150 billion with a B. Basically return to the trust or something strange like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so far is so boring, right? This is a lawsuit of one rich person against another rich company for basically no reason, other than because he wants to. I mean, right. So
what
far...
happens when you let narcissists just do as they please?
Yeah, yeah. But where it gets interesting is like everything that's happening around it. So the first thing was Elon Musk wanted to exclude jurors from the jury because it's a jury trial that don't like him. yeah.
Where
you
anyone
can
go there?
Yeah, exactly. that's the question. So the judge, what was her name? She's the same judge that also was working on the Apple trial. Elizabeth something. I always forget her name. But anyway, she said, the reality is that people don't like him. Many people don't like him, but that doesn't mean the Americans nevertheless can't have integrity for the judicial process. So she denied that request. I liked Manton Reese's comment on it. He was like, turns out if you're an asshole in public, it might eventually come back to bite you.
It might. It might. Judge Gonzalez Rogers.
Thank you. Yvonne Gonzalez Rogers. That's her name.
There we go.
Yes. Yeah. She was in the Apple versus something trial as well. State of, I don't know, federal?
Epic,
I don't know.
Maybe
Epic, yeah, so one of the Apple trials at least. I don't know her name for that. So that's how it starts. Like Elon Musk is from the get-go kind of being, Elon. then it continues. His own tweets kind of are catching up with him. I think both him and Sam Altman kept tweeting, which the judge did not like very much. So she told them to maybe stop it because they were kind of, being themselves, basically.
Grown children.
Yeah.
Grandchild.
Yeah, exactly. I think Elon said that they were looting the nonprofit and blah, blah, blah. So there's this whole thing happening. There was a really interesting article from which outlet was that? I don't remember. The Verge, I think. Yeah, that Elon was kind of being more petty than prepared during the courtroom. Yep. Like, I mean, he can be really charming. We know that, right? Usually, and he's had some court cases where he was really charming and he won them and whatever. This time around, it seems to be more a petty fight against amongst kind of rich people than anything else. he would say, but also very self-serving, he would say things like, I came up with the idea, the name, recruited the key people, taught them everything I know, provided the initial funding. Besides that, I did nothing. And he thinks this is funny, stuff like that. So he started. Yeah, I could have started for profit, and I chose not to, as if nobody else had anything to do with it. So yeah, there's this whole thing happening. There was also a good article from The Atlantic that I also linked to by John Gruber. Yeah. Gruber has been posting about it like 4 or 5 articles. The trial makes the AI boom seem sordid and small is what was written in the Atlantic. In the sworn deposition, Altman wrote that Musk used to message him complaints that he wanted more credit for the success of OpenAI. It took offense of not being included in an anniversary photo, even though he was really not doing anything anymore. He also said he would drop the lawsuit if OpenAI changed the name to Closed AI. So,
he's so petty.
Yeah, he took a book out of his good orange child. Friends, his good orange friends, his book, and called Sam Altman Scam Altman as well. So, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. So this is going on. This will be fun.
Well, I guarantee you some of all of his tweets that he's done over the years are going to come back and bite him because I think I read an article. I remember that some of his comments, it's out there. It didn't disappear. He has no right to delete them. So they're out there.
No, for sure. I mean, I think on both sides, right? I mean, it's like, it's not as if like either side is right or wrong here, I think.
Right.
it's like watching a sporting match and wishing both teams lose.
Yeah, exactly.
That was possible.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know what the end goal here is for Elon, because I don't think, I mean, I think all the legal experts are saying, that's a fair point. Maybe he doesn't.
Well, it's similar to how he ended up buying Twitter, right? It was just his impulse and pettiness and childish behavior.
And drugs.
And drugs.
Lots and lots of drugs.
You know, in that case, he had to spend $40 billion on Twitter. In this case, he's probably, you know, going to get his wrist slapped by the judge.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I've said it in the past. I'm not a big fan of OpenAI or Altman either. That's why I'm like, as you said, it's like either both sides should lose, and this should.
What's the method for which both people lose in this case? Let's figure that
usually
out.
Usually, it's thermonuclear warfare.
Okay.
Shall I play a game?
given that the trial's in Oakland, maybe I need to move for.
Oh yeah, you should.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you want to come visit?
Yeah, maybe I should hide out in the hills of.
Yeah, might be a good idea. Yeah, as a follow it, it's super interesting. It's kind of the type of interesting where it's like you just want to sit back, have a glass of wine and some popcorn, and just watch. Two companies or two people destroy each other, and that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
To no benefit of anybody else. Like, this is literally like, does anybody think OpenAI, that the customers of OpenAI will benefit from it? No.
No.
Especially since Elon also says that OpenAI, if they went back to nonprofit, they would have no chance. So I'm like, so what's his point?
Right.
His point is he's stuck with his own AI company that can't do crap, and he's pissed off. If he was smart, he would just sit back and wait. It looks like OpenAI would kill themselves. So
that's true. They're doing a pretty good job themselves. Right. They don't need help.
Well, Elon doesn't do patience very well.
That is true.
That's not real high on his list of strengths.
Yeah. So that's as I said, go follow it. That's my story. I just found it fascinating.
It is, and I
I've been reading a little bit along the way, and of course, it's only a couple days in. So
yeah, exactly. It's but, supposed to go for a month, I think. So something at that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. All right. So, yeah. There's no fun segue from that. So I'll just say, hey, everyone, it is so cool that we have Awe Technologies here helping support the British Tech Network. And why is that so cool and exciting? Well, because if they weren't here helping us get all the resources we need to be able to live stream shows to you every single week, Dave wouldn't be able to sit in a hospital and be a surprise member on today's show. And you wouldn't be able to see all of that happen in real time because it takes a lot of resources to put together and live stream shows. So we appreciate that Awe Technologies is helping us with that. They're also making sure we have server space for the website and for show files to live. That way you can watch and listen to shows anytime you want. And let's be honest, who doesn't go back and rewatch and re-listen to every episode over and over? Because there are just so many gems. And I mean, every jobby's a gem, right? Anyhow. Yeah. So without their help, we wouldn't be able to do all the things that we do. And we do appreciate that. Another thing
and
that we all appreciate.
And Jeff, remember, we couldn't afford the lentil chips that powers this whole thing.
No, we would not be able to afford those lentil chips. Yeah, which would just be the worst because just like Ram, lentil chips are hard to come by right now.
They are really hard to come by.
Yeah. Hey, go check out Awe Technologies on their website. It's Awe Technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk. Thank you for being here and having our back, Awe Technologies. So related to all of that, we have an awesome live chat to go along with our live stream where all you have to do is go to the website for the live stream and you see the live chat and can participate. And Patrice, do you mind being your amazing, eloquent self and telling people about the live chat? Because it will sound so much better coming from you than from me.
I can try. I'm not sure.
You
I'm
know, no
sure
pressure.
Today. No pressure, yeah. So we have a really cool live chat. We actually have a really cool live stream system. If you are listening to this right now, like as we're recording this, then you're on the live stream system and it's at live.britishtechnetwork.com. Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time. If you want to join and watch us make this show, like you get a lot of pre-show, a little bit of post-show here and there. It's like, yeah, it's just a lot of extra bits and pieces. And you see, like, you can talk to us. There's a chat right next to it. Marty gets to listen to the show while he's cleaning out his office. So, hey, that's good. It's a good use of your time. So really, really cool system. We put all the links, like what we just talked about, all the stories, the social media links, anything like we talk about. is in our live chat and then also on our website at the end. So, or actually live, it gets live sent to the website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Go there, pick a date. If you pick today's date, which is the last day of April, April 30th, 2026, then you will see what we talked about on this very show.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. Like I said, it does sound much more intelligent and eloquent coming from you than from me.
Even with my broken voice, yeah.
Even with your voice, yep. Okay, let's do some cool things before we wrap up. And I should go over to the live chat and see what sort of cool things are being dropped in. And Ian, you have the first one.
My first one is what I'm sat in right now, brand new chair. My old one fell apart after many years of sterling service. I had a look on it. I was thought about buying one of those super expensive ones. And I found this. Just over 100 quid. It's really well designed. Dead easy to build. It's like if you build one chair, you build them all. There's no difference in them. But it's very well designed. It's a nice finish. There's a multitude of colours. I went very boring and went for a black one. But I did know it's because, again, things built in China. You need to make sure you get the big one. Otherwise, it isn't suitable for Western-sized bodies. Because when I looked at the size of the base, the seat base, on a lot of the ones that were selling on Amazon, they were all quite narrow. I'm not narrow. I'm tall and I'm not very narrow. Even though I am losing weight, I am not narrow. I've never been narrow. So this one's quite good. To show how good it is, if you look at the pictures, there's this Buddha-looking character enjoying himself in the breadth of the chair, sat cross-legged. And it will cope up to 135 kilos, which happily I am not. But nevertheless, really good chair. Great buy for not too much money. Saved me buying one of those super expensive fancy ones.
All right.
We'll see how it does long term. It's been good for the last couple of weeks. It doesn't squeak. That's the other bonus.
Okay. Yep. Squeak. Definitely a bonus. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Very cool. You know, Dave, in case you're in the market for even more cool office chairs, Ian just took care of you there.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
good gear. Good gear.
Okay, so Tom, looks like you are up next.
Okay, my cool thing is really just targeted to Patrice. It's only Patrice. This one's for you. It's an episode of Freakonomics, which is a pretty popular podcast, I think, and originates from Dave's neck of the woods. Stephen Dubner. And it's an episode about Judy Faulkner, who is the founder and CEO of Epic. No, not that Epic. Not the Tim, whatever his name is, Fortnite Epic. This is the Epic that dominates the medical company.
Medical software. The biggest medical software company in the world.
And Patrice, you probably know a lot of this already, but it's a very interesting story of a woman who founded a company in the late 70s in Wisconsin. It came to dominate the market. It's still a private company.
Yep.
The charter of the company says it can never go public, even after Judy Faulkner dies. And I think she's in her 80s now.
Yeah, something like that.
And they have a huge number of employees. I can't remember. It was like 50 or 80, 100,000 people, something like that. I think
close to 100, yeah.
And I know they've had, at least in the US, if you have an app on your phone or have an online system, book your appointments and look at your records and so on, it's probably 99% sure it's run by Epic.
Not quite.
Yeah, I mean,
it is high, like more than 50%. Yeah,
right. I think they've had their ups and downs as a company. I think they had some really terrible experiences in some European countries. That, you know,
they did. Yes, deployment
went sideways.
Oh, massively! But they're back. So. They pulled out of the European market for a long time, but they've been pushing in again. So, yeah, we just lost one, the biggest hospital in Germany, in Berlin, to them. So,
I don't know much about that business, but to me, it was interesting to hear an interview with her.
Mm-hmm.
She has an interesting past. Anyway, so I highly recommend it if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch it because that sounds super interesting.
Cool.
So I have a customized cool thing. I'm sorry, it's only cool for one person on the panel.
There's no rule against that. Okay, Dave, you're up with your cool thing.
Oh, wasn't sure if you got it or not, but
I saw it pop into the private chat and dropped it the live stream for you.
Appreciate it. That is a Govee light that I was looking for, a light for my new office setup. And it's it is really cool. It is it's kind of a very thin pole, but it's got the LED lights that go right into it. The building, it was pretty simple. You just stack the three or four different half posts and put the light in there, and it's really bright. It really works really well, and it's something that I thought would be great that I can actually hook it to an outlet that has a switch, as well as it works through the Govee app, as well as it works in Matter. So it's got Matter, so you can use it in HomeKit on Apple. So able to program it. It has different color settings and all kinds of cool things. Not too terribly expensive, like around $65 US. I went with the black one, and it's kind of cool. And you can see just from the images on the link here from Amazon that it does all kinds of cool colors. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. Govee makes good stuff too.
I've been thinking about getting a what would you call it, a post lamp, a pillar lamp. LED for a while, and
Govee makes really cool stuff.
Maybe that's an option
then.
Cool,
check her out.
Those look cool.
All right,
that's interesting. Well, it's just they make one that's just the pole and you put it in the corner and it then kind of illuminates.
That's really cool.
They're really cool.
And I can change the colors on the fly. You can program it. There's a lot of programming in the
Illuminator.
Cool. All right. Well, then that brings us to your cool thing, Patrice.
Yeah. So my cool thing is an old cool thing. It's kind of a retro rewatch cool thing, almost.
Put it on the list.
I'll add it. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a 2000. Not. It's a 2007 show called Chuck. It's not Chuck Joyner. I love that show. I've watched it. How many times. I'm just rewatching it again because I like it.
Oh my god! It was so good.
It's basically Chuck is a college dropout or got kicked out of Stanford. Works at a local. It's called a Bymore, but it's very clearly the Bymore, but it's very clearly the what's the company name now?
I can't remember.
Best Buy. Walmart.
Best Buy. Yeah, Best Buy.
It was
on my mind. I was like, By the way, Doc Rock calls Best Buy the Bymore. For this reason. Yeah. So he works there at the Nerd Herd. That's the geek squad, basically equivalent.
Oh my God.
And he gets an email from his nemesis, basically his old college best friend, who betrayed him, and he gets downloaded a kind of a database into his brain of like government secrets.
Yes.
So stuff happens from there. And there's two, like Adam, what's his last name now? Adam
Baldwin.
Baldwin, thank you. Adam Baldwin and Yvonne Stravinsky, whatever I was.
Yeah, she's good. She's really good.
They're both amazing. It's kind of the CIA/NSA guards, handlers.
Yeah.
Of Chuck and it goes from there. It's really it's comedy. It's really fun. 8.2 on IMDb if you're interested. It's just a good show. It is.
Linda Hamilton makes a few appearances.
Yes,
she does.
There's a lot of interesting people that show up over time. Really good characters.
Guess what? 5 seasons was it?
Seasons? 5 seasons, I think. 4 or 5. Now you got me questioning it.
And it's on Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, but as far as I know, it's not available for streaming, so you can only buy it.
Oh.
I thought it was on Peacock.
Not according to Just Watch. Maybe it got dropped out. It was.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Currently, it's five. Originally. It's five seasons. It's on all the platforms like Prime or Apple TV or Fandango. Right. If you want, you can buy it there. Unfortunately, there's sales every now and then, so look out for those. Yeah. But it's, as I said, it's a really fun comedy. It's kind of comedy, spy comedy, you would call it. So, plays in Burbank, California. So it's just a fun, like. There's so many hints at like what they copied the ideas from. The music is very much James Bond, for example.
It is. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
just a great show.
I watched it every week when it was on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I said I've gone back to it a couple of times. Like, it's just fun. Yeah. So that's my cool thing.
I have not seen a single episode of it.
Yeah. I'll add it to the list, Jeff. I always said Chuck now.
Yeah. I joined Retro Rewatch just to review it.
There's an idea.
I'd have it. I'd have it. Yeah. But I saw it. I'm not rewatching it, but I'm rewatching it to rewatch it because I
exactly.
love it.
Well, the two of you could gang up on me.
Exactly. Yeah, be like, Jeff, how could you not watch this?
I think we have an idea here.
That's fair. I mean, I hadn't watched any of Stargate SG-1 until Patrice shamed me.
Yes. Well, me and Brian, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Brian did most of the shaming, but Patrice approached it productively.
Yes.
Wow. Let's do a podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Therapy.
Therapy, yeah. Okay, well then that brings us to my cool thing.
Yep.
Which is so mundane, yet was worth the $9 that I spent over and over again. It was worth it many times over what I spent. And it's one of those things that I wouldn't have thought to grab, except that Patrice is like, well, you can fix all your problems with this. So here's the backstory. For the infrared remote extender that I picked up a few days ago. So I have an aging, like almost 20-year-old Sony Bravia TV, 32-inch. And I decided that there are just enough limitations now that even though the TV still has a really good picture, it was time to get a new television. So I ended up with a 50-inch LG, and the problem is that the LG TV sits high enough that the soundbar that I mounted on the wall above the Sony Bravia is now just a little bit lower than the top of the 50-inch television, which means the IR port is blocked. And so I'm relaying to Patrice all the most ridiculous things I could do to address the problem.
Yeah.
And she's like, you just need an IR repeater.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and yes, Patrice, you're absolutely right. So during our conversation, I ordered it and it showed up the next day and I hooked it up and that's it. Problem solved. So simple, such an elegant solution. And it's one of those things that since it would be easy not to think about it, it is my cool thing because it is such a simple solution to a very annoying problem. And we need more of those simple solutions.
So what do you plug into the TV? What port do you plug it into?
Nothing. It's not about the TV.
It just relays the IR signal.
It just relays the IR signal from one place to another. It doesn't do anything else, just that.
Yep, that's all it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, it's a lot simpler than setting up a whole bunch of angled gears.
Yeah.
That
was Jeff's idea.
That was one of my ideas.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Literally, that was Jeff's idea. He was like, I should do that.
I guess I could move all the art that I have above the TV and then put new anchors in the wall higher and move the sound bar up. And then I'm like, I don't really want to do that. And then I'm like, well, maybe I should get one of those Visa mount stands that you put on the floor and holds the TV. So it's like,
yes.
up against the wall, and then I can move the sound bar off the wall and put it on the entertainment.
Patrice
center.
Is like, no, just get
this. That's
yeah. I mean, we had, to be fair, we had some alternative ideas. We were like, okay, we could like put like a little like tripod or something and put like that way or like something. We had some other ideas.
Mirror?
But mirror was Jeff's idea. But then I said like, you know, hotel, like a lot of hotels have them because they have the little boxes that they stick behind them with their like IPTV stuff. And I was like, and they use IR receivers. I've seen them all the time. So, and they're like, what was it? $8, $9, $10, something like that.
It was $9 shipped.
Shipped. Yeah.
Wow.
And got it the next day. And the only things that I had to add to this to make it work. First, I needed to have a USB charger block thing. Not a problem. And then the small piece that rebroadcasts a signal, you actually need to make sure it's aimed. So it has to sit horizontal. And first thing I tried was just taping it to the back of the TV so it's actually vertical, and it did not work. So then I'm like, okay, let's stick with easy solutions. And I cut a piece of cardboard, folded it in half, and taped it to the back of the TV, and taped this, the little transmitter end to the cardboard, so it's on a little platform, aiming the right direction, problem solved.
Yep. I still can't believe you buy a new TV.
I know. Yeah, Dave shocked about the fact that I finally replaced
it. Yeah, because I saw that TV. Finally. Like, you still have this thing? Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
The picture's still good. And I don't need any smart TV features at all.
Right. I know. I hate that stuff.
But the problem is that there's a format standard that has changed. So the edge all the way around the image on everything is cut off on the 32-inch Bravia.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other little things that were issues. But, it's like, well, I've got my Costco membership.
The one thing you buy every time you go there.
Yeah, for bananas. Sometimes I buy peanuts.
Peanuts and a lot of bananas.
Yeah, okay. And which, gas.
Yeah, you can only buy a lot. It doesn't come in any other size.
Which,
I didn't hear what brand you got.
It's LG.
LG, that's right. I missed that.
And one of the first things I did after getting it all set up was go through the menu and I'll never attach it to my network ever.
Yeah.
But I went in and I shut off everything that I possibly could that relates to smart TV and AI because I'll never use any of the features. And if they're shut off, hopefully that means it's using less of the processor as well.
It should, yeah.
And but I'll never put it on my network ever. Yeah. And so basically I bought this 50-inch TV that has all of this stupid smart TV stuff. And I'm using it as an old school dumb TV monitor.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
That's what that Apple TV for.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Brian Chaffin flipped out when he found out that I still have a Blu-ray player and it's connected to the TV.
I do.
Some of the Blu-ray box sets that I have sitting out here, and
we watch every Christmas that has to come out. The
one thing I didn't
know on Blu-ray or DVD.
Sometimes when there's a show that you really like, the most cost-effective way to get it and have it is to just buy a Blu-ray or DVD box set. And
I just uploaded it in Plex.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you're even more efficient than I am, Dave. But anyhow, there you go. $9 fixed the problem, and and it would have been the most ridiculous pain in the ass problem for me if it hadn't been for Patrice going, well, just get this.
Mark.
And you were right.
She's a smart one.
That's right. Yep.
Patrice, it would have been a lot more fun if you told Jeff to go with the mirror idea and call him back in a couple of days. And then tell him, just get this.
I was like, hey, by the way.
Yeah. Oh,
wait, that you got to tilt this mirror just
try this
way.
Instead.
Wait, you tilted the mirror wrong.
Yeah.
You have to stand on one leg and then hold that mirror. And...
Yeah, you can string like the rabbit for like a week and then be like, hey, you know, you could get an IR repeater. Maybe that'll work. Like, oh, okay, I'll try that. And then I'd be like, oh, son of a bitch, I know what happened here.
She outsmarted you.
Which is actually very easy to do. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think we have gone on long enough just for today about how I clearly need adult supervision. So I think it's time to wrap up and find out where people can find all of you. Dave, our yes, surprise friend today, where can people find you?
Glad to be here. You came on. You gave me some. I've had some fun today to get my mind off things here. So. You can find me at InTouchWithiOS, InTouchWithiOS.com, YouTube channel, YouTube.com/InTouchWithiOS. I do the Neo Notebook with Marty and Eric on Sundays. I do Visual Profiles on Mondays with Marty and Eric, and Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner. Thursdays, we record our show in Touch with iOS, and I'm here on Fridays. And it's a Blue Sky Mastodon at AG65, and yes, I have way too many podcasts.
Yeah, so clearly you need more.
Well, that's why this is a retro rewatch with Watching Chuck.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so Patrice, when you're not basically babysitting me, where can people find you?
Hey, that's a full-time job, so I don't know if I have time for anything else.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Big Show and Mac Show on this very network every Thursday and every Friday. Everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, all the cool things since November 2019, all of that on my website. ThePatrice.com will take you there. And with Jeff and maybe in the future with Dave, Retro Rewatch, we talked about it. We rewatched Stargate SG-1 right now. And there is a point of no return coming on Friday. Which is literally the episode that we watched. So
I remember that one.
You do?
And
okay.
I don't remember. Well, what I remember is that my prediction was ridiculously wrong.
Well, that's every episode, so that's not a...
Right. Okay, that's fair, too. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am TomF@sfba.social.
Awesome. All right, Ian, when you're not building and flying poop cars, where can people find you?
Me? I'm here. I'm here on the Slack room. I'm here on the Big Show on a Thursday. And I'm in the Slack room and I'm on LinkedIn. Look for me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. That's the best place to find me from anything social. In fact, you'll find me in London at our big Veeam Expo coming up in June, where I'll be helping out with some lab stuff. That's my next big event thing.
Cool. Cool. All right. Then for me, what am I doing? Holy crap. Okay. How about socials? I'm doing that. Jay Gamut on the various social medias. I'm active mostly right now on Mastodon and PixelFed and Blue Sky. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS, here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show and the Mac Show. Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine, and we started a newsletter to go along with the show. So if you go to contextmachine.io, thank you, contextmachine.io, there's a link at the top of the page for the newsletter. Click that, and then you can sign up. And it's a weekly newsletter. And yeah, then Patrice and I do retro rewatch, and the mug that Patrice held up a moment ago, just so you know, everything that she drinks out of that tastes better because it's a retro rewatch mug.
That is true.
Mine too.
Yeah, mine too. So, all right. So with that, it is time for us to wrap up. And thank you to all of you for just being amazingly wonderful friends. I am so happy that every single one of you is in my life. You're just awesome people. So thank you. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you to all of you for being here and being part of this. And all of you that watch and listen to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of this as well. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure there are people for shows and all technologies. Thank you for being here to support us. And with that, everyone, tune in tomorrow, Friday, for the Mac Show. Don't forget to come back again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.